Embrace the Word for Friday, April 3, 2026. Embracing Psalm 45. Psalm 45 pertains to the king's wedding celebration. The words expressed in Psalm 45 are addressed to the king and queen in the context of their union in marriage. The intriguing thing about Psalm 45 is addressing who is the handsome groom and the beautiful bride. Psalm 45 shares some of its superscription with Psalms 42-44, but also some additional information. To the choir master, according to the lilies, a maskil of the sons of Korah, a love song. The shared elements of the superscription that are unique to these four psalms suggest a thematic connection between them. Psalm 45 celebrates the hope that will end the sorrow expressed in Psalms 42-44. The additional features of the superscription of Psalm 45 most likely refer to the tune, as in the case of According to the Lilies, and the subject, as in the case of a love song. Both of these descriptions, which are unique to Psalm 45, are found in similar forms in the Song of Songs. Thus, Psalm 45 shares important themes found in the Song of Songs. Both pertain to a wedding of a king from David's line. Psalm 45 begins with a word to the handsome king, 45:1-9, then moves to a word about the beautiful queen, 45:10-15, before concluding with a word on the blessed union, 45:16-17. Psalm 45 begins with the psalmist prefacing his remarks about the king by expressing his own regard for the king. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe, 45:1. The psalmist states that his carefully crafted composition about the king has been a great pleasure. What has stirred the psalmist becomes apparent as he begins describing the king. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured on your lips. God has blessed you forever, 45:2. The psalmist warmly lavishes praise on the king, stating that he will be the most handsome of all the sons of Adam. The words that the king speaks are life-giving and grounded in truth. This recalls the words of David. The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue, 2 Samuel 23:2. Upon the king will reside God's blessings. As Psalm 45 continues describing the king, the psalmist moves to speak of the great warrior qualities of the king. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and majesty. In your majesty ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach your awesome deeds. 45:3-4. The king will be a conquering king. With his sword at his side, he will arrive in splendor and majesty. He will majestically go into battle, assured of victory. And the cause for which he rides into battle is the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. This king will put things right as he humbly fights for the truth. This king will reflect God's expectations for a king. And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes, and by doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left. See Deuteronomy 17:18-20. This king's arrows will drop his enemies in their tracks. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples will fall under you. 45:5. The king's enemies would be under his feet. As the psalmist continues his description of the king, he points to how he would rule. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. 45:6-7. This king would be a king from the Davidic line, for the language of a kingdom being established forever and ever is drawn from the Lord's promises to David. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. See 2 Samuel 7:13-16. The language of scepter is drawn from the prophecy to Judah concerning a king who would come. See Genesis 49:10. But also from Balaam's prophecy of a king who would conquer. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab, and break down all the sons of Sheth. Edom shall be dispossessed, Seir also. His enemies shall be dispossessed. Israel shall do valiantly. See Numbers 24:17-18. The king's rule will be one of righteousness, as the king himself will love righteousness and carefully hate wickedness. But the most startling statement is the first. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. This king from the line of David is addressed as God. While the full revelation of the promised Messiah coming from the line of David being both God and man is not fully developed in the Old Testament, we should not take that to mean that there are no indication of these matters until the New Testament. That the king, which the psalmist speaks of as being divine, is not out of the question to the prophet Isaiah, who called the Messiah Mighty God, see Isaiah 9:6, or that the Messiah would not only be a shoot of Jesse, but also the root of Jesse, see Isaiah 11:1-10. This king is personified as the Lord's anointed son, the Messiah, who will rule the nations, see Psalm 2. And yet, while the king would be God, he would also be distinct from God. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions, 45:7. The king, who is addressed as God, nevertheless has God as his God, and his God has anointed him with gladness in a way that is unlike what any other has experienced. The description of the king's gladness continues as the king's attire, grand palace, captivating stringed music, magnificent wedding parties are detailed, not the least of which is the exquisite bride. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. 45:8-9. Fascinatingly, the mention of the fragrant oils and spices here referenced are the same found in Song of Songs 4:4 in the context of physical intimacy. In referencing the bride, the psalmist devotes some of his words for her. Hear, O daughter, and consider, and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty. Since he is your Lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the peoples. 45:10-12. Having the feel of a wedding charge, the bride was to listen carefully. The bridal queen was to turn from her past allegiances, forgetting her previous family, and fully give herself to her husband. She is to bow before him, for not only is he her husband, he is also the king. The queen is assured that the king would adore her and the extravagant gifts would adorn her. Just as the king's appearance and character was celebrated in verse 2, so now is the queen's. All glorious is the princess in her chamber, with robes interwoven with gold. In many colored robes she is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her. With joy and gladness they are led among as they enter the palace of the king. 45:13-15. The bride queen is glorious. That is, she is dazzlingly beautiful. And as she is led to her husband, the picture is of a glad procession. The psalmist concludes with a wedding benediction pertaining to marital faithfulness. In the place of your fathers shall be your sons. You shall make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. 45:16-17. The couple are charged to turn their attention from the past to the future. A chief concern would be not their fathers, but their sons. The couple would be fruitful and multiply. They will bear a family of princes who, as a result of what they accomplish, the name of their father will be praised among all the nations. This promise is simply what the Lord stated to David. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. See 2 Samuel 7:9. As we reflect on Psalm 45, we should consider how the writer of Hebrews uses this psalm. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews states, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. See Hebrews 1:8-9, quoting Psalm 45:6-7. Clearly, the writer of Hebrews shows us that the Davidic king spoken of in Psalm 45 is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this king will have a bride. Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and beautiful. See Revelation 19:6-8. The Lord Jesus will reign with his bride, a bride that he obtained through his activity as a conquering warrior, which consisted of laying down his life for her. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. See Ephesians 5:25-27. Our Lord's bride will be beautiful. For it was through his sacrificial death that God's gracious love transforms his people. In the end, through faith in Christ, we will hear, for your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. See Isaiah 54:5. That's all for Embrace the Word for Friday, April 3, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Monday, April 6, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 46.